It's good to see everyone here this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. We're glad that we can come together to worship God. And today we're going to talk about beginning in the first few verses of the Gospel according to John. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing nothing was made that was made." Now that's a profound statement right there. Very simple and yet very profound. Saying that God, and of course we read on down who this God was that created everything. God the Father created all things through the power of Christ the Son. The Holy Spirit was there because we read about it in Genesis chapter 1. And so Jesus then is the incarnate Word of God. He is the revelation of God to man. The message of God, all that God is, Christ revealed that to you and me. In John chapter 1 verse 14 it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In other words, Jesus Christ is the embodiment of everything that God is and that He was and ever will be. You turn over to Colossians chapter 2, just for a moment. Colossians chapter 2, and in verses 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul writing there, Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, through verse 10, it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." In Him, in Christ, dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, all that God the Father is, all that the Holy Spirit is, all that Christ Himself is, was shown in Christ living upon this earth, dwelling in a human body. And He gave to us an understanding because of His revelation to man, who He was and what He came to earth to do and how He came to fulfill it. He has always been because He is divine. He is eternal. And He's part of the Godhead. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In other words, God the Father and Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit worked together in the creation of the physical universe in which we live and also the spiritual universe in which we live. They are the creators. There is one God, and yet there is three persons of the Godhead. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And so God, the Father, through the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, made us also and created us. And the Bible tells us that God, when He created us, He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Not just a living physical body, but a living spirit within that body that gives us life every day that we live. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, created the universe in which we live. We go out at night, look through a telescope, and we see so many things that we can't see with our eye, but we can see them because of that. And we look on different places and see images from satellites and things that we can see, things that we could never even begin to imagine, and realize that God, through Christ, created all of those things. And so we go back to John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." In other words, God wanted to emphasize, and it's not it's not an accident that Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1 begin the same way, in the beginning, because there was a beginning. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, they do not have a beginning because they are eternal. And in a sense, that is a concept that we cannot begin to understand. We can't understand a God that has always been. We think normally of eternity as something that's ahead, looking forward. But God, there is never a time that God was not there. There's never a time that Christ and the Holy Spirit did not exist. And He is here now. And He is here for all of eternity as we look at it as finite human beings in the future. But all time and all place is now to God and here to God. There is nothing that God does not know and understand. And so we have to understand and at least have a faint concept of that idea. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writing there, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23, he says there, and he, that's God the Father, put all things under His, that's Christ's feet, and gave Him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Christ fulfills all in all. There is no other need that we have except Jesus Christ, God the Father and Christ and the Holy Spirit, who reveals these things to us. He is both the Creator and He is the eternal conqueror of all that is evil, all that stands against Him. In Genesis chapter 1, we go back to there also and then realize Genesis chapter 1 describes the 6 days of the creation and how each day God created these things and He saw that it was good. And those 6 days, and then God rested on the seventh. And it says there, He saw everything that He had created, and behold, it was very good. In other words, God created everything exactly the way He wanted. And it was through Christ that this was done. And again, Genesis chapter 2, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, we're the only being that God created that is said about. The others didn't. But He gave us something within us that was a part of Himself, a living spirit, a living soul to dwell within us. So when this body dies, as it will someday, the spirit is going to go back to God. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us at the end, the body goes back to the earth from which it came, but the spirit returns to God who gave it. And so God says that that's what's going to happen to us. We know that someday there is going to be a day of judgment that we're going to have to stand before God. Now, turn for a moment back to Revelation, Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, we have a description of Jesus Christ. Now, bear in mind the vision God gave to John at this time was of the time of the end of time, the final conquering of all that is evil, and Christ being the one to direct that. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, John says, "Now I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." You go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is all of these things. He is the Word of God that dwelt among us. He is the Word of God that shed his blood for us upon the cross, that was resurrected, ascended back to the Father. He is the God that will come back as the conqueror over all that is evil, and ultimately the judge of all the earth. And so we look at that and realize it's much greater than we even have a concept of understanding. But God wants us to know to the best of our limited ability to be able to have the concept of the greatness, the power, and all of these things of God. And this is the Word that became flesh. He was there in the beginning. He is here now. He always will be. And so we have to understand that when we talk about the title of the lesson is creation by the Word of God. Christ is the incarnate Word that came to deliver and to live among us. In the book of Psalms in chapter 33, go back to the book of Psalms now. King David, of course, the ancestor of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Psalms chapter 33, beginning at verse 6. Psalms chapter 33 and verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts by them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." God spoke the word and it was done. You know, you think about God in the sense of being the creator of all things through Christ. And then it's by the word of the Lord. It is God's word that brought everything into being. Whether it's the physical universe in which we live, the earth itself, or us also. By the breath of his mouth, he brought these things into being. There is no greater power in the universe, physically and spiritually, that we live in, than is greater or more powerful than the word which God speaks. It says, by the breath of his mouth, he brought these things into being. There is no greater power. And all the creation is by his power, by his authority. There is no other power but that. Now, you might think, well, why is there evil in the world? Why is there those things that don't happen the way that we think they ought to? Well, God allows this world to continue in its way. But there's going to be someday a day of judgment in which God will set everything right. That's what Revelation 19 is talking about. At the end of time, Christ will set everything right. Every evil that's ever been done will be punished. Every righteous act and everything that's good, God will reward. And that's going to happen. And so we look to that time. And of course, the idea here in Psalms chapter 33, he says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts by them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together in a heap, and he lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." We are to fear the Lord. Yes, we're to fear that what's going to happen is if we rebel against him and we don't believe in him and don't follow him. That's part of that fear. But a great deal of that fear has to do with our proper respect and understanding to the best of our ability who God is and what he has done for us. And he says, "For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." You think about that, and God spoke the word and all of these things were done. His word is final in all things, and both spiritual and physical. God's word is final in all the things of this life that we see, that we understand, that we know, and things that we don't see and we can't possibly understand. His word is final in all of those things. And yet the world around us rejects the message, rejects the word of God and God's will. Every day, his will is rejected by man. Now we go back now to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes Hebrews chapter 11 It's called A Great Chapter on Faith. And over again, it begins by saying, by faith, such and such a person did this or said this or remained faithful and other things happened. So it all is based upon our faith in God and our willingness to act accordingly. Hebrews chapter 11 describes the faith of Abraham and Moses and all of those others, how they believed and obeyed the things that God commanded. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In other words, faith is the foundation upon which we build everything else. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not an idle idea. It is a true basis upon which we base that faith, which is that God is, and God is our Creator. It says, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible explains in Romans chapter 1, the physical universe in which we live is proof positive that God exists. Now, many reject that idea, but that doesn't mean it's not true. But it is. And so God gave us that to be an example of those things. He says then in verse 2, "For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith," verse 3, Hebrews 11, 3, "by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible." Now again, we can't begin to understand fully that concept. The worlds were framed by the word of God. That's what Psalms chapter 33 says. The worlds were made, the worlds were framed by the word of God. And so we have to accept it by faith. And if we don't accept it by faith, then God's going to reject us. And we think about that for a moment. As we looked around us and hear all different kinds of theories about the universe and the creation and all of those things. And we have to go back to the fact that God was there. God told us what He did, that He created it. Now, He didn't give every specific thing about it. But you look around in our world, and I've read many times on different places and things, and if you read about man's ideas of the creation of the world and the universe and everything we live in, and you'll come to a conclusion sometimes that people don't believe in God, for example, and there's a couple of ideas about how long the universe has been here. And one of those theories says it's been here about 3 billion years. Another theory that says it's been here about 10 billion years. And these are the so-called experts we are to believe that they know all these things. But you think about that for a moment. One says 3 billion, the other says 10 billion. So one of them has missed it by 7 billion years if it's true. So why should we believe any of them? The Bible says God created it. He created in His time and His way. Faith means that there is a designer that designed the universe in which we live and everything in it, including us. Faith realizes that God created you and me as a physical being, but also a spiritual being that will survive the death of this physical body. And notice it says in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 11, verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke and it was done," as Psalms 33 says. He says, "so that," here is the purpose of it, "the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." In other words, the things that we see were made of things that God created that may be invisible to us with our physical eye. Well, God is the greatest astrophysicist. He is the greatest microbiologist. And anything else you can name, scientifically or in any other way, God knows about it. God understands it because He is the creator of all of those things. Faith, of course, means that there is a design that was made by a designer to bring this world into being. even if we don't understand it, doesn't mean that God doesn't understand it. And he did this, as John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, he did this through Christ. Christ is the one that created the universe in which we live. In Psalms chapter 139 and verse 14, David said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. He says there, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, it hadn't been very long ago, as the world stands, that people figured out that the blood circulates through the body, and that's what keeps us alive physically. And it's only been 200 or 300 years ago that people discovered that. Well, God knew it from the very beginning. Go back and read, for example, in the book of Leviticus. The things that were clean and unclean animals that could be eaten or not. All of those unclean animals were things that carried some kind of disease that would cause them to get sick and die. The unclean did not. And God told them not to eat blood, as many of the pagans did. And that's because the blood carried many of the diseases and things that they would get. God promised the Israelites, before they came out of captivity and in the law that God gave to them, he says, if you will follow my will and follow what I command you, I will see that none of the diseases of the Egyptians come upon you. And so that's why God gave those things. Now, God was a microbiologist as well as everything else. He is the creator. So we look at this, and David said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, people are still discovering things about the human body that people never knew before, even after all these years of studying, because God made us that way. And we'll never reach a time when we know everything, because God created us. Now, turn now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we read part of it a few moments ago. In Colossians chapter 1, And we begin reading there at verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. This is talking about Christ. He said, he is the image of the invisible God. In other words, everything God is, Christ is in this world when he came down to be with us. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In other words, he is the first of all creation. Now, he was physically born in a way that no one else had ever been born, conceived and born. And so he is first in that. In every way, Jesus Christ was unique in his life upon the earth, as well as being God in the flesh. Verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and things on the earth, and visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. God created this universe for himself, and he put us there to enjoy the place where he gave us to live. And so God is the creator through Christ. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now that's an important passage right there. The word consist comes from a word meaning to hold together. In other words, the entire universe in which we live, God didn't just create it and then go away and leave us to our own devices. Many people believe that God might have created everything, but then he just kind of left us to our own devices and our own ways. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says in him all things consist. This universe in which we live does not fly apart because God holds it together. The earth is the same way. If God suspended the law of gravity for a couple of minutes, we'd all fly off into space and be dead. But God doesn't do that, because in him all things consist. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body. It's still about Christ as God gave him. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him He, in all things, he may have preeminence. He fulfilled God's plan for our eternal salvation. I think he had preeminence. The word preeminence comes from a word to mean the first light or the first power, the first authority. Christ did that. He gave his life's blood for you and me on the cross, that he could have preeminence above all the other, all other things. In Acts chapter 1, we read that Christ, when he had spoken his last to his apostles, he was received up into glory. In Daniel chapter 7, we read of Christ coming back to the throne of glory in Daniel's prophecy. And it says he came back to sit on the throne of glory. So Jesus did that for us. He is the head of the body, the church. Spiritually and physically, he is over all things. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And him, all things, that all him, all in all things, he may have preeminence. He is the first of all things. He is the image of the invisible God. God allowed human beings to see God in the person of Jesus Christ. Again, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, everything that God is, the Holy Spirit is, Christ is, in his body, he demonstrated that. And so to see him in the physical realm was to see God. John chapter 14 and verse 9, when Jesus, of course, is talking to his disciples, and they said on one occasion, he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be enough. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Jesus was the inheritance in everything that God gave to you and me. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, again, it says, in him all things consist. It holds together. The entire physical and spiritual universe does because of what he is for us now, his power, his glory, his might, and everything. Christ is the person through whom God, the Father, created the universe by his word, and we still live in it, and we will until the time comes that this universe and physical universe in which we live is going to die and be destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter tells us there that when Christ comes again, this physical universe in which we live is going to be burned up and destroyed. All the physical universe will no longer exist. But spiritually, in Christ, we'll be able to go home to live with him eternally. God, the Holy Spirit, revealed the Father, the Creator, and Christ, the Son, to you and me. Genesis chapter 1. Says the Spirit of the Lord was over, or brooded over the oceans of the world as the creation continued. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The only reason Moses or Paul or Peter or others knew of these things, because the Holy Spirit directed them to write the message of the Word of God for you and me. Now we turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, of course, Solomon being the writer, King Solomon was. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The last verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon sums up his life and his teaching for you and me. Of all the things that he did in life, he had wealth, power, fame beyond anybody of his own time. Everything that would make life livable as people think about it today, there is nothing that he could have in his time that he didn't have. He came to a conclusion at the end of it. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12. He says, further, my son, be admonished by these things. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. But let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon did everything in life that anyone could possibly imagine. And then he came to a conclusion. He says, here's the conclusion, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole of our life, the whole duty of man, to believe and obey him. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, Jesus gave the Great Commission. He said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He can say that because he is eternal. He has always been, he is, he always will be. If we'll believe him and obey him, we can have eternal life. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, that invitation is for every one of us. If you need to come, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.